5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. This is Dr. Tommy Anelli, and today is a very special episode. We both, Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin, and myself on behalf of the Croc organization. It is Christmas. We are wishing you nothing but the best. Today's podcast is a little bit about strategies. If you're not feeling up to being festive, if you're not feeling like being merry, or if you just want to kind of forget that the holidays are even here, then this podcast is here for you, especially for the people who have lost a loved one. This is part two of that series. The first part was to talk to survivors who are having difficulty, who are in pain, who are in distress, who are just not feeling it. And the second one was for the families and the loved ones of the people who we have lost. And this is the continuation of that. I want to give not just a shout out, but 100%, ownership of the material that we're talking about today. Miss Litza Williams, a social worker, I believe, who is a grief specialist and incredibly respected and well published and well known in the subject of grief. And I took her 64 tips for coping with grief at the holidays as a guide for these two podcasts. And I'm grateful to her, even though we've never met. And I would love to have her on one week if she would consider that. But at the very least, we want to make sure you have access to her work. And Angel will have that plugged in on the website and tagged to this podcast. Angel, this is part two, 35 to 64 points on trying to help our survivors/thrivers. Your thoughts before we start.
First and foremost, happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everyone that does celebrate. And I echo what Dr. Anelli says. For some of you that are dealing with trying times, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For some of us, it's a joyous occasion. For some of us, it's a very hard, joyous occasion. And we recognize that, and we want you to know that we're with you, and we're honored that you're here with us today. So let's get to it.
Excellent. So we're going to go give you guys a bunch of strategies. Again, not our strategies, Miss Williams' strategies, but I think the first two kind of are combined, and that's dealing with photographs. So the photograph of a loved one. We said this last podcast, remember, everyone grieves differently. And one person's grief is not wrong or less good than another person's at all. And we never want you to feel guilty about not being able to go to a certain event or participate in a certain activity, or even, derive, the same traditions that you usually do. So again, from last podcast, I think that was more the take-home message, was don't feel guilty, set your loving boundaries, but communicate your needs and plan ahead. As far as photographs and memories and talking and stories, again, some people grieve where they just can't do that yet, and they just have to get there if they ever do, and it's okay if you don't. Or it might be someone, like I said, I used myself in my dad's passing, of how I tried to keep him part of my life, even though he was not physically on this earth. So it really depends on who you are, what you are. So I tend to be on the second end, where I kind of avoid pictures as an adult of my mom or, loved ones, pets and things. But everyone is different, and it's certainly okay. But if you are interested in looking at a photograph, you might want to put a holiday picture of you and your loved one with your family, or if it was a friend or a partner or whatever, and make it a centerpiece, or actually frame it and make it part. Made that could be maybe one of your new traditions that we were talking about last week. The other thing I actually love, Miss Williams says, is skipping or minimizing gifts. I actually think that's a great bit of advice, even if you're not grieving. I think the holiday season, if you're, celebrating it in a Christian sense or in a Jewish sense or in another faith sense, I don't know where we went wrong, but we went wrong somewhere, because the minute that commercialism and gifts and the entire craziness of, you know, standing in line for 100 hours to be the first one to get a, you know, something patch kid doll or whatever that was back in the Cabbage Patch Kid doll, or whether you waited in line to get like the newest and the greatest and latest, you know, iPhone or whatever, and you wanted to give it as a gift, you know, let's minimize that, because materialism is just not really worthy of that loved one. And I think that if we were to really have the spirit of honor, I agree with her 100%. And again, not just for our survivor / thriver loved ones who are here, but really anybody. Also, you might want to go to a grief group. And I found it, Angel. It's https://grief.com/grief-support. So there, she does have support groups that you can go to her grief group. So it's whatsyourgrief.com. Please put it at the end and tag it to our podcast. Absolutely. You might want to also maybe skip the decorations this year. You may not want to put a tree up this year. You may not want to put, if you do put a tree up, you may not want to put all of the, you know, different ornaments. Maybe your tradition with your loved one was you would get a new ornament every year and you would add it to your tree. And maybe that's too painful. So it's okay if you don't do that. And again, we're going back to guilt, right? Never feel guilty if that's the decision you make. Angel, is it okay or not okay to cry?
Listen, you're talking to the king of crying. And for me, I'm going to say it like this. I thought in my 20s that it wasn't okay to cry. But then as I've gotten older, absolutely. It's very, very healing and it's soothing.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, I remember the famous line from Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own. There is no crying in baseball, but there is crying in grief. Please forgive yourself. You're allowed to cry. You can cry in front of anybody you want. And it's okay. You're not like, you know, if anyone thinks you're losing your mind, you're not. It's okay. And we talked a little bit about volunteerism or doing something to honor a loved one. We mentioned adopting a family or giving to a family in honor of your loved one who is lost. You could also do some volunteer work, spend a few hours in the soup kitchen, you know, the maybe Christmas Day or one of the nights of Hanukkah. And but tell whoever's arranging it that you're doing it, you know, on behalf or in honor of that person. The other thing that we have trouble with, Angel, you and I, because we're both perfectionists, you need to let your perfectionism go. If you're the person who is like the perfect, has the perfect tree and the perfectly wrapped gifts, and you start your, sadly, I have a little bit of the OCD / perfectionism. So like my Christmas stuff starts, you know, months ahead. I design my own cards and I have a theme with my kids every year. So, you know, if I don't feel like going through all that, if I'm down or if I'm grieving, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Ignore the people. Again, you want to try to push out the people that are bringing you to a bad place, to a dark place. People who tell you what they should do, what you should do. Those are the people you want to stay away with. I always, you know, again, we tend to have a little bit of a Christian bend here, Angel, but I don't mean it to be, but I will tell you from my perspective, there's a line in the Bible where, you know, I think what our Lord said is, you know, how could you be criticizing me, telling me that I have a splinter in my eye when you have an entire beam of wood, you know, in your eye? So please don't think that if someone says anything to you, that they have any merit to be able to do that or have the right to do that. They really don't. And you don't have to let that get to you. Gratitude, Angel, we've done podcasts on gratitude and how it helps our survivors / thrivers. But gratitude might get you out of your funk just to be grateful, even though probably the last thing you're grateful right now because you're grieving a loved one. But there are other things that you could look into your heart and know that there you have gifts. You have gifts that God gave you. You have gifts, and I don't mean material gifts, but you have talents, you have health, you have other things that you can be thankful for, and you have other people that are here on this earth with you that I'm sure that you would be grateful for. You want to watch your food. We talked about this last week, Angel. Food can make you, well, we're going to put this together. We'll put food and drink together. So a little bit of really great food on the holidays, maybe gaining a couple of pounds isn't the worst thing in the world. That is, unless it really deepens your grief or deepens how bad you feel about yourself, and alcohol even more, because it is a mood, you know, altering, you know, drug, I'll say. And I, you know, having trouble with food myself, I could tell you that if anyone tells you that food doesn't likewise mess up your neurochemistry, they're absolutely wrong, because it could really make you feel bad and really supercharge your grief and just your depression and just not feeling well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you're stressed out, like, you know, if you had said, you know, say it's your turn to do the holiday meal or to have people to your house. Guess what? You know, there's a Chinese restaurant right around the corner who will be open on Christmas Day. You know, look at the Christmas Story with Ralphie and his family. You know, the neighbor's dogs ate their turkey and they had to go to eat Chinese food. I promise there's Chinese food somewhere, and you could just order a bunch of good Chinese food if you don't feel like cooking. And if anyone complains, you kick them out of your house. You can tell them that like an angel said, you are not, you know, you're just not getting it. The point isn't the food, it's the togetherness.
Can I just add one thing?
Please.
I don't want to stop you, but just
We're good.
Came to my head, you know, in my mind. You know, when you talk about trying to get away from the negativity, I'm a firm believer that, you know, positive people, if you think positive, you get positive people. If you're around negativity, you're going to get negative. So in our way of podcasting, positive times a positive equals positivity, and negative times a negative is negativity. And that's how I used to think about it when I was in a depression. You've got to stick to what works for you, what keeps you in a positive light, even though you're going through that struggle, because no one can show you or tell you how to feel, because what you're feeling, no one can do it. They can only kind of understand it if they're willing to sit there and listen.
Absolutely. And the next one, I'm a big believer in this, and I'm trying to get my wife to do this for herself. Splurge on a gift for yourself. If there's something that you really want and you can do it, and it really will be a game changer for you, if you want to, you know, tune up your bike, or, you know, put it in a, you know, in addition to that, like bicycling is important to me. Say I want to get a new transmission and it costs $800, and if you can swing it, it might change, like, you know, since you're using that bike every week, that might make a big difference in your life. And if you're feeling as bad as you are, you know, you might want to splurge on yourself. That's not a bad thing. Say yes to help. We talked about this last week. You might need a counselor. I want you to go to this website, to this blog, to Miss Williams' blog. I'm sure there's some really great stuff here for you. And don't feel bad to ask for help. It doesn't make you weak. It does not make you vulnerable. It does not make you abnormal. And that's really a stigma that really needs to be addressed. And we've been doing this a lot, Angel, with some mental health issues over the last couple of podcasts, talking about depression and despair and things, how mental health really hasn't gotten the notoriety in the mainstream as far as it being okay to ask for help for mental health, as opposed to, hey, doc, I have this big third head growing out of my ear. What's that? And everybody's like, oh my God, you know, you have cancer. Let me hug you. Let me hold you. Let me make you a meal. Let me do this. How about, like, oh, I'm really depressed. It's like, yeah, suck it up. You know, it's okay to ask for help. And I'm sorry, we're not there yet as a society, as a community. We're not there to support that yet. We're getting better, but we're definitely not there yet. You could have a moment of silence during your holiday prayer or toast. I always try to do that when, at least I used to, when I used to do the family prayer, I would always recognize the people not with us. And you could, again, donate a meal. We mentioned that. You could also identify the people that could help you during the holidays. I always said, and Angel, you happen to be one of these people in my life. I have a friend, Jimmy Matthews. There's you. There's just certain people that make me feel good. You know, I may not know them that long, as, you know, I may know people from when I'm in kindergarten, or even family members that I've know for my entire life, but they may not be feel good people. You guys are feel good people. If you're in despair and depressed and grieving, it might be good to kind of minimize your contact with, again, back to you, Angel, those negative people, and kind of surround yourself with what I call those feel good people. It's also good for you to make some quiet time. It's okay to be quiet, even though there's the Christmas carols and people walking around and going to the malls and doing all sorts of things. You may not want to do that this year. You might just want to be home in front of a fire and just relaxing, reading some poetry or blogging or journaling or whatever, writing a poem yourself. There's no reason why you can't have some quiet time for yourself. And also that kind of segues into practicing self-care. You know, we mentioned that, you know, eating and drinking and things could kind of take you out of your, you know, feeling of, you know, being in control. Maybe a little working out, maybe a little bit of a walk after a big meal. After Thanksgiving, we had a family football game, flag football game. You know, did we burn a lot? You know, did we burn the amount of calories we ate? Absolutely not. But I think we all felt a little better before we then lost it again when the pies came out. But it might be something for you to consider doing something healthy, some self-care. You could also make sure you have to support your children if it happens to be a partner or a parent that they've lost and you're raising these children now without your partner. It might be something for you to really support your kids by doing something together, whether it be a grief activity or something other. And again, getting back to prioritize and don't commit. We mentioned this last week. Look at what's going on there. Don't just accept it as a given. You know, evaluate. Take that pause. Don't overcommit. Pick and choose what you want and then prioritize. And then the things that you can just get away with not going to, like without losing your job or whatever, then that's what you do. And if there's any situation where you feel if you did something or didn't do something, you would lose a friendship, I think you should lose that friendship. Because anybody who wouldn't understand during this period of time may not be somebody that's worth your time. We mentioned skipping the holidays, taking the year off. We mentioned that last week. Enjoy yourself to the best of your ability, if you can. And it's okay to be happy. This is actually a really good one to end on, Angel, because what if you are grieving and depressed and, you know, the family comes over, you go to someone's house and, you know, the meal is perfect and you're seeing people you haven't seen. And all of a sudden something new happens that you haven't seen in months. A smile comes across your face. There's a glow about you. There's a warmth in your soul. You're just starting to feel different than you've been feeling. And then you think, oh my God, how could I feel this way? You know, I lost, you know, the love of my life. I lost my dad. I lost my sister, my twin sister, my best friend to cancer. And like, I have no right to be happy. Well, you do have a right to be happy. And I really want, this is the perfect one to end with, Angel. It's okay to be happy.
I agree. And you know, it's funny when you mentioned that when I was depressed, I would actually go out and it was the only time I actually were able to step away from my grief. And when I would have a great time, I'd start to feel a little bit down again as the night was wearing off. And as I was driving home, I noticed that I was going back into that. And I felt a little bit of guilt because I was feeling happy. So yes, you know, it's hard, but you know, it's you adjusting. You're getting to that point where you're slowly trying to transition, but let's be real. It still hurts. And the fact that you can identify that, you know, you're feeling better and you're also feeling the grief, that's okay. It's normal. And it's happened to the best of us.
Awesome, Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Thank you for this three-part series. I appreciate your contributions.
Absolutely. And I just want to tell everyone that, you know, the hardest thing you'll ever, I think everybody at one point deals with something like this to us, you know, and we can all relate to it. But the most important thing is not to give up hope, because at the end of the day, you'll have an opportunity to get better.
Exactly. Rod Friedman, Small Biz Up, thank you for everything, buddy. Appreciate it. Board of Directors, thank you for your hard work and your giving. to our amazing cancer survivors / thrivers. We really appreciate it. And for the last two podcasts, I've been really leaning very heavily on work by a colleague, by Lisa Williams. We're going to have her links. I sure would like to meet this young woman and tell her how awesome she is and how awesome her work is and how meaningful her work is. And we certainly appreciate it here at the Croc Podcast. And last but not least, you guys are cancer survivors, are cancer thrivers. You're depressed, you're sad, you're despairing, you're in pain, you're afraid, you're scared, and you don't think you're worthy. But you know what? You are worthy. You are special. You are awesome. You are brave. You are courageous. You are strong. You are smart. You are beautiful. You are a unique, amazing child of God, and you are here for a reason. And we are so happy and grateful to be here. If we can even touch one person and give them a small tool to help them through their survivorship / thrivership, it is our incredible honor and our delight to do that. So on this Christmas Day 2022, we end this podcast as we end them all, wishing you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.